德瑞巴比呢，在芝加哥城，在西雅图城当中呢，来做这个城市宣教的工作30年。
Dr. Ray Bakke, he himself was involved in urban missions in Chicago for over 30 years, and recently he moved to Seattle.
他在这工作当中，他曾经也参与过很多国际城市宣教的训练工作。
And over the past over three decades,He participated in a lot of global urban ministry conferences and teachings.
他也特别关心亚洲太平洋的城市宣教工作。
And he paid particular attention to the Asia Pacific Rim.
他在神学院当中也教导国际宣教工作的课程。
And in seminaries around the world, he conducted teachings in global urban ministry. And I believe the Lord has laid upon the heart of Dr. Bakke, and one day he will learn Chinese.
我相信从今天开始，他要注意我们这里城市宣教的工作。一定要有中文的学习。
And then he will learn before long that before he can conduct urban missions in Asia, he needs to learn to speak Chinese.
我想把这个时间交给他，希望他能用中文来跟大家讲。
So Dr. Bakke will speak to us in Mandarin.
The world is made up of two kinds of people, those who are Chinese and those who wish they were.
这个世界只有两种人，一种是中国人，另外的一种就是想做中国人的人。
Well, good morning, sisters and brothers.
早安，姐妹跟弟兄。
Ever since meeting Thomas Wong in 1980 for the first time, I've been hearing about you and this group meeting.
我自从1980年认识王永信牧师之后呢，我一直都听到关于华人教会，关于你们的故事。
And I consider it a great privilege to spend this week with you here in Malaysia.
所以这个星期我可以在马来西亚跟你们共聚一堂，是我感觉非常高兴、荣幸的一件事。
My assignment is to speak to you something about the challenge of urbanization to mission and evangelism.
我今天接到的题目就是说，全世界都城市化带来给宣教有什么的挑战。
And even before I knew my translator was named Philemon, I chose a Philemon passage, which is good planning.
还不知道我跟他翻译的时间，他已经选了《腓利门》这本书，是我写的。作为他今天讲这篇道的经文。
I will come back to that text later.
那么我呢，一定要回到那个经文《腓利门书》。
Let me set the stage, as it were, for that text.
那么我先呢把这一卷书的背景跟你们分享一下。
In 1800, approximately 2% of the people on this planet lived in sizable cities.
在1800年，在这个地球上住在城市里头的人还不算太多，但是已经有相当的比例。
By 1900, 8.5% of the people on this planet were living in sizable cities.
在1900年，全世界的人口当中，大概 8.5% 是居住在城市里头，而且是相当大的都市。
But 2 years ago, according to the United Nations Population Institute, more than 50% of the planet now lives in large cities.
两年前联合国的统计就告诉我们，全球的人口当中已经超过一半是居住在都市里头。
There are more than 6 billion people on the planet.
现在世界人口是60亿。
Fastest growing cities are African and Asian.
增长的最快的都是在非洲跟亚洲。
And more people live in cities today than lived on the entire planet when I was born.
我出生的时间，全球的人口还不够现在住在都市的人口那么多。
I don't know if you can calculate the number 1 billion.
我说想象一下，十亿人大概是一个怎么样的情况。
For example, Jesus was born a little more than 1 billion minutes ago.
主耶稣出生的时间呢，大概是11分钟之前的事。
Takes about 1900 years to have 1 billion minutes.
要1900年才有10亿的分钟。
But the world will grow by 1 billion people in the next 10 years.
但是未来的10年，世界的人口增长将会超过10亿。
60% of that growth is in Asia.
这个人口的增长的60%是在亚洲。
I want you to imagine a gigantic airplane with two engines.
你想象一个超级大的飞机，有两个的飞机的机器。
Let the airplane represent the earth.
地球就好像这辆飞机一样。
The twin engines driving the plane are urbanization and Asianization.
那这两个机器，一个是代表全球都市化，另外就是全球亚洲化。
So the 19th century was the British century.
所以在19世纪，我们说是英国大英帝国的世纪。
20th century was the American century.
20世纪是美国的世纪。
But almost all scholars realize the 21st century, our century now, will be the Asia century.
大部分的学者都相信21世纪是亚洲的世纪。
And for 2000 years, we've been strategizing how to get the gospel into China.
我们已经花了几百年就是在计划怎么样把福音带到中国去。
The Nestorian Silk Road mission in the 5th century.
有一位历史学者在第五世纪的时间他就这样看
or Marco Polo and the papal mission in the 12th century
那么马可波罗也在12世纪的时间尝试把福音带进中国
Matteo Ricci and the Jesuit mission in the 16th century
16世纪利玛窦跟耶稣会的教士也尝试把福音带到中国去
and after 1807 Morrison from Macau and the modern Protestant mission into China in the 19th century
1807年马里逊就把福音带到澳门在那个时间也牵起了近代福音重中国的历史
And while we've been thinking about how to get the gospel into China the Lord of Mission has been scattering the Chinese through all the cities of the world
当我们在想象怎么样把福音带进中国的时间我们庄稼的主已经把华人分散在全球不同的城市里头。
Like 20th century Jews, the Chinese are everywhere.
过去20世纪，犹太人被散全球，华人也是一样。
And as the Jews invented the synagogue in Babylon and the Greek Bible that was read in Jerusalem by Peter in Alexandria, Egypt, so the Chinese are learning skills all over the world.
犹太人他们尝试了，他们创造了这个会堂，那么然后呢，在用希腊文把圣经翻译过来后来然后呢彼得就拿着这个希腊的这个圣经就把这个福音带到罗马帝国我们华人在这个全球的宣教学者也在学习华人也在学习怎么样可以把这个福音传到地极去
It is also true of Japan
日本也是一样
We have been sending missionaries to Japan at great cost since 1552
在1552年以来我们尝试用不同的方法付很大的代价把福音带进日本
But Japan is today far less than 1% Christian about 0.29% if you count only Protestant
在日本整体来讲基督教的人口不够1%要是你单单就把更正教基督教放在那只是0.29%
But meanwhile, God is scattering the Japanese all over the world.
那么就在这段时间呢神已经把日本人散到全世界每一个角落
1 million Japanese live in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
在巴西圣保罗这个大都市已经有超过100万的日本人
One church in Alabama in the U.S. baptized 4 Japanese PhDs in 1 year.
那在 Alabama 这个美国的一个州，有一年他们举行一个敬礼，在那次敬礼里头有四个日本人的博士学位的日本人。
They were working on the space project in Alabama, and they came to know Jesus in the diaspora.
那这群被分散到美国的日本人，在 Alabama 州里头，他在研究太空的计划，但是没有想到就在哪里，他们遇见我们的主耶稣。
I suspect that was more PhDs baptized in Alabama than all of Japan that year.
我相信在那一天阿拉巴马那四个日本人的博士接受基督比全年在日本本土接受主耶稣的博士学位的日本人更多
Several years ago we did a church growth study in Buenos Aires, Argentina
几年前我们也在阿根廷这个地方就做了一个教会增长的研究
We discovered that 10% of all of the churches in Buenos Aires speak Korean
那我们发觉在那个地方原来有 10% 的人口居住在哪里的会讲韩国文。
You see, just when it was expensive to send missionaries across the ocean, they come across the ocean at their own expense.
我们呢就尝试跨洋越海的把宣教师送到老远的地方，但是没有想到庄稼的主就把这些人送到我们的跟前。
For 35 years, my wife and I lived in a 1 mile section of inner city Chicago.
有超过30年，我跟我的太太就住在芝加哥的城市的中心点内。
Our children went to, our three sons went to inner city public schools there.
我三个孩子呢也是在芝加哥的公立的学校里头，在那里长大，在那里念书。
And I was pastoring in that community.
我在那个城市的新庄里头，我做牧师。
I was surprised that in the school they were teaching in 11 languages.
我没有想象在他们的学校里头，他们教11个语言。
There were 54 nations with students in the high school where my children were in school.
我的孩子念中学的时间在同一个学校里头有54个不同国家来的学生。
The local school was a human zoo.
那么在那个学校里头其实好像一个人类的但是动物园一样。
Every year I teach doctoral students.
每一年呢我是教一些博士科的学生。
These are people who are preparing to be teachers in theological faculties, so we're teaching them about urban mission.
那我这些从世界不同地方来的学生呢，他们就来学是全球都市化城市的宣教到底是什么回事？他们回到本土的时候呢，要教神学的。
So one of the ways we do that is to take them on a plunge in cities like New York.
所以我们这些学生怎么样教他们？就是带他们去一些很大的都市，好像 New York。纽约。
In Queens, New York, they have found 133 nations in one postal zip code.
在纽约就在一个邮政区里头已经有139个不同国家来的人居住。
Think of it. There are about 200 nations in the world. 133 nations live together in one small New York community.
全球的国家的数目大概是200多一点，但是想象在纽约的一个小小的地区已经有133个不同国家的人居住在一个小的地区。
You see, we live at the time of the greatest migration in human history.
在人类历史当中，我们居住在一个人类迁移最快的一个年代。
The southern hemisphere is coming north.
南半球的人迁移到北半球。
And the west is coming east.
西方的人东来。
And everybody is coming to cities.
而且每一个来的人通常都居住在城市里头。
I read some books about Malaysia before coming here this week.
我来这个大会之前呢，我就特别看一些有关马来西亚的书。
And I'll use one illustration from this country where we are.
那我尝试呢就用一个例，是从马来西亚这个国家出现的。
In the year of independence, 1957, 56% of this country lived in rural areas.
在1957年，在这个国家里头，大部分的人其实还居住在乡村里头。
And they worked in rubber plantations and on the soil, on the farm.
他们呢工作的地方就在那些橡胶园里头。
40 years later, 28% of this country lives in rural areas. The rest have all come to the cities.
40年之后 ,28% 的人在马来西亚住在乡村里头。
I began studying China seriously in 1963.
我在1963年开始我就比较花多一点时间研究有关中国的一些书。
And I was there again a few weeks ago.
几月星期之前我还亲自到中国。
China has some of the fastest growing cities in the world.
中国大陆现在是全球都市化最快的一个国家之一。
Many of you know that 80% of the known Christians in China are in the rural areas.
我们知道在中国大陆里头信基督教的人 80% 是住在乡村里头。
But that is changing very rapidly.
但是现在情况就改变。
The Chinese government has announced that they must create 20 cities every year of at least 1 million people just to capture the refugees coming from the rural to the urban areas of China.
中国的大陆的政府已经宣布他们的计划，就在未来当中，他们每一年大概要超过20个的大的城市要建立起来，每一个可以居住100万人。那么这些城市的建立就是盼望把乡村移动到城市里头的人可以有居住的地方。
There are now 410 cities of the world that have more than 1 million people.
全世界现在有410个都是超过100万人口的。
So you have Singapore just passed 4 million, Hong Kong just passed 7 million, etc.
那新加坡已经超过400万，香港700万。
And Bangkok and Manila and Jakarta and Kuala Lumpur are also great Chinese cities.
曼谷马尼拉吉隆坡新加坡这些都是亚洲全世界有名的大都市。
And of course, to say nothing of Los Angeles, Toronto, or Vancouver.
那么这还有洛杉矶还有 New York, 多伦多 Vancouver, Vancouver, 温哥华他们是香哥华现在叫。
That's a new Chinese city just north of where I live.
那个呢就是
growing very rapidly.
西雅图的北边就是这个温哥华是全世界最大的华人都市之一。
So there are by far more unreached people now in cities than jungles.
未得之民现在呢不要以为都住在森林里头。未得之民现在大部分是居住在都市里头。
The frontier of mission has shifted.
宣教的界限已经改移。
100 years ago, you crossed the ocean, the desert, the jungle to find the unreached people.
100年前，我们说宣教就是跨洋越海的，到森林里头去，把那些未得之民找到，带他们相信基督。
100 years ago, the cities were in the nations. Today, the nations are in the cities.
100年前，我们说这些都市都分布在全球不同的国家之内，现在反过来是全球所有的国家都汇聚在都市里头。
100 years ago.Foreign missions was geographically distant.
我们从前讲宣教就是地理上的距离。
Today, foreign missions is culturally distant. Geographically, it is across the street.
现在我们讲宣教地理上很近，是文化上的距离。
Our youngest son's church in Chicago, where he is on the pastoral team,worships every week in 9 languages.
我的儿子现在在芝加哥的一个的教会里头做牧养的工作，他们每个星期的主日崇拜用9种不同的语言。
We are talking about churches in the city needing to specialize to reach the nation.
我们就说在都市里头的教会也要专业化，为了把这些从世界不同地方的各国各族的人可以带领他们接近他们，服侍他们。
Police departments and the hospitals and the supermarket and the offices are often open 24 hours.
在医院里头工作的人，在警察局工作的人，超级市场的人，他们是每天24个小时都开放做工的。
So the church must be 24-hour church with day pastors and night pastors.
那么我建议我们的教会也应该是24个小时开放，应该有日班的牧师，有夜班的牧师。
We are talking about pastoral teams of men and women working in all different languages in the city.
我们说在都市里头的教会的教牧同工应该有男有女的，应该是有不同的语言的，以致可以服侍不同的群体。
Because the foreign mission has come home.
因为海外的宣教已经在我们的门口发生了。
We were not trained to think this way.
我们过去的训练不是这样思考的。
Business used to be local, now it's global.
从前我们做生意就是看我们在这条街怎么样做，现在不是全球化的生意怎么样去做。
And whether it's medicine or law or business, things have changed.
无论是医学，无论是法律界，无论是商界，整个世界已经改变。
And so we have specialized ministries to reach city people.
所以我们说都市的宣教是一个专门的题目，需要专业的人去尝试都市的宣教。
Now, Now forgive a personal testimony.
我盼望你见到我有一点点个人见证的分享。
I moved to Chicago with my little family in 1965.
1965年我就搬到芝加哥去居住。
And my city erupted in race riots along with Los Angeles, Detroit, Newark, and many other cities.
在那个时间除了芝加哥之外还有纽约还有 Detroit, 这些都是都发生了种族的冲突。
The shocking thing to me as a young pastor was watching the white Christians flee to the suburbs.
那么在那个时间呢我是一个年轻的牧者有一个令我非常震惊的现象。白人的基督徒非常惧怕就从城市里头搬到市郊里头去。
People called it white flight and white fright.
所以那个时间是白色的恐惧白色的逃亡。
It disturbed me greatly. That my church would run away from the challenge of the city.
那个时间叫我心里头非常沉重。
You see, I'm a graduate of places like Moody Bible Institute and Trinity Seminary.
那我呢是在 Moody 圣经学院在三一神学院毕业的。
I grew up believing in mission.
在那边的训练一直都培训我要看重宣教。
My father's sister studied Chinese to be a missionary in China, only she got there too late, 1949.
我爸爸的一个姐妹他是念中文的主要就是为了预备自己被差到中国可是他迟了一点点他1949年才毕业。
So here I was in the middle of the revolution in Chicago, but my theology was too small.
在这个大的暴动的当中我发觉我的神学太小。
I decided to do two things very intentionally. First, study scripture about cities. And secondly, study Chicago.
所以我在那个时间就下了决心要做两件事。第一，好好的看圣经，怎么样讲都是。第二，决心要好好的研究芝加哥到底是个怎么样的城市。
Chicago has 77 communities, so I made a vow to visit each one.
芝加哥有77个不同的社区，我就立定心意，要每一个社群，每一个社区，我都进去研究。
Chicago is 8.4 million people.
芝加哥大概有840万人。
It's really an industrial city, like Bombay.
是一个工业化的城市，好像孟买一样。
Dirty, smoky, ugly, noisy, corrupt old city, Chicago.
非常古旧、烦躁，那么非常的肮脏，那么什么的问题都出现的一个典型的现代大都市。
I didn't love my city.
我在那个时间，我并不爱芝加哥。
I didn't know my city.
我也不认识我的城市。
I decided in order to love it, I needed to learn to know it.
所以我说要爱这个城市，第一步就是要认识这个城市。
So I went to the Historical Society, I found hundreds of books on Chicago.
那我到历史学会里头去找，原来呢关于芝加哥的书超过100本。
I read Chicago history, Chicago economics, Chicago politics, Chicago architecture.
所以我就念很多书，芝加哥的历史，芝加哥的政治，芝加哥的经济，芝加哥的建筑，啊，这些书我都看。
I read about the gangster history of our city.
那么我就念芝加哥黑社会的历史。
I gave tours.
而且呢，我就带一些人呢去参观旅游，看芝加哥。
And I discovered secrets about my city.
所以我就发觉关于芝加哥很多的秘密
And I fell in love with Chicago.
我就爱上了芝加哥
See, My adopted city
是本来不属于我的现在是属于我的城市
And I have been suggesting that model pastors and seminaries all over the world fall in love with your city
我就向全世界在都市里头的教牧同工都说一个建议你要学习认识你的城市爱你的城市
Drive around, walk around. I studied the Catholic history of Chicago because it's primarily a Catholic city.
我就到处驾车去看，步行去看，而且呢，我连天主教在芝加哥的历史也看了，因为芝加哥天主教的影响很重要。
Salvation Army came in 1875 or so, and I studied that history. I studied the Settlement House. I studied the revival movements of D.L. Moody and And so I could be a walking encyclopedia of Chicago.
1875年呢，旧世军就到芝加哥，我也把那段的历史也念了。那么 Moody 他在那边也有很多大型的培林粉心的聚会，我也好好的看，所以我呢可以说是芝加哥的一本百科全书。
What I did is what missionaries always do. It's the urban equivalent of learning the language and the culture.
那其实每一个都是说宣教的人一定要经过一件事，一个宣教是到一个国家先要学习那个国家的文化，在一个都市里头也同样，你要先学习那个城市的历史跟文化。
So fall in love with the cities where the Lord has planted you.
所以主耶稣要是把你放在一个城市，你要爱上那个城市。
The second goal was something that continues on.
那么第二个目标现在还在进行当中。
I grew up in a family that taught us to memorize chapters of the Bible.
我是一个基督教的家庭长大，那么我的家庭的教训就是我们从小的就整章整章的圣经要背诵起来。
And I went to seminary to learn the great covenants and promises and theology of Scripture.
那么我在神学院里头就学圣经里头的神的约，神的应许，神怎么样传递他的信息。
I studied Hebrew and Greek to better learn how to articulate the gospel.
我就学希伯来文，学希腊文，以致我更加知道怎么样去传扬圣经的信息。
I've been teaching church history for 30 years.
30年来我是教教会历史的。
But I have to tell you, I found that when my city erupted, I was not prepared.
但是当我的城市里头出现暴动的时间，我发觉我的神学没有装备我去面对这样的情景。
I began very simply. I took my Hebrew and Greek concordance.
所以我开始的很简单，我就把我的希伯来文、希腊文的圣经串联的工具翻开。
I found that the word city occurs in the Old Testament 1,090 times in Hebrew, ear and earim in the Old Testament.
所以在旧约里头，我就发觉呢，城市这个字出现1050次以上，就在旧约里头出现。
I found the word polis, city, or polis, little city, occur 160 times in the New Testament.
那么在新约里头，我也发觉呢，都市或者是小都市这个字也出现超过50次。
I found 142 cities in the Bible.
那我在圣经里头找到超过140个的都市。
Some mentioned one time.
有一些只出现一次。
But some like Sodom mentioned 51 times.
那么有一些好像索多玛就出现超过100次。
34 in the Old Testament, 17 in the New Testament.
那么在旧约里头出现37次，在新约里头也出现14次。
So I started putting together case studies of biblical cities.
所以我就把这些城市成为个案，让我可以研究圣经怎么样看这些城市呢？
For example, Ezekiel 16 is the divine commentary on Genesis 18 and 19 on the destruction of the city of Sodom.
所以以西结书第17章其实是把旧约里头索多玛这个都市怎么样被消灭做一个整理，在一个介绍。
And God is very clear. The reason he destroyed Sodom was that the rich were getting richer and the poor were getting poorer and the rich were proud and they didn't help the poor. And God said, I hate it. So he removed the city.
那神要消灭索多玛这个都市，原因很简单，就是发觉在这个城市里头，有钱的人越来越有钱，贫穷的人越来越贫穷，而且那些富有的人他自己非常高傲，根本没有把那些穷人放在眼内，神看不过来，就决定把这个城市消灭。
I began to study the people who worked in cities in the Bible.
那么我后来再看呢，就研究那些在都市里头宣教做工的人。
For example, in the Bible, the priests were required to live and work in the cities. They couldn't work in the countryside.
那么我发觉呢，在旧约里头那些祭司，他被要求在城市里头去做工的。
Prophets could come and go. Priests were required to stay as pastors in the city.
先知呢可以在城市乡下来回的，但是祭司是被安排居住在城市里头。
I found 25 kinds of urban ministry models in the historical books of the Old Testament alone.
那么在圣经里头那些历史 书里头已经找到有超过25个的个案是怎么样去看一个城市。
I found many justice texts, 400 passages about the poor.
那么大概有400个地方是讲神的公义怎么样要照顾那些贫穷的。
I studied the ministry of Jesus in the context of urban Galilee.
那么我发觉在加利利这个都市的情况当中主耶稣怎么样进行他宣教的工作。
There are many texts, but Matthew 9:35 uses four verbal forms to describe or summarize the ministry of Jesus.
马太福音第九章里头呢就用四个字来形容主耶稣他的服事。
Visiting the cities, teaching, preaching, and healing all the diseases of the people. That's what Jesus did in the city.
主耶稣在那个时间就走遍各城各乡教导传福音医治赶鬼。
With the help of many scholars, I began to research the work of Paul.
借很多学者的研究我就看看保罗的侍奉。
The Apostle Paul only went to cities.
保罗呢他的侍奉主要在城市里头。
The smallest city we have record of his visit is Thessalonica.
他接触的城市里头比较小的一个就是帖撒罗尼迦。
And Paul approached every city a different way, unique to each city.
保罗每一个城市他用不同的策略。
So in Philippi in Acts 16, he worked with the women's group.
在那个腓立比这个地方是跟妇女会一起合作。
In Acts 17, at Mars Hill, he quoted Greek poets in the scholar's place.
在使徒行传16章，他到另外一个城市里头的时间呢，他就跟那些学者，跟那些诗人在学房里头辩论。
In Acts 18, he worked in Corinth, a blue-collar city, by starting a business, leatherwork business, to support himself.
到哥林多这个城市的时间呢，其实是一个工业的城市，他就跟那边那些工业界的人开始他的侍奉。
When Paul wanted to reach the Jews in Acts 19, he went to the synagogue because that's where Jews go.
到使徒行传第十九章，他就在那一个城市里头的犹太会堂里头去接触那个城市里头的犹太人。
But when Paul wanted to reach Greeks, he rented a theater, Acts 19:8-10, 5 hours a day and used Socratic method, dialogumenos, to share the gospel with Greeks, because Greeks don't go to synagogues, they go to theaters.
那然后在使徒行传第十九章第八节到第十节，那么他到另外一个地方，在那个都市里头呢，他就盼望可以跟那些学者可以来辩论，就在推拉学房那边，每一天在哪里辩论，是用当时的希腊的学者苏格拉底的方法来接触在那个地方的外邦人。
In the interest of time, I'll jump to the end. Chapter 28 of Acts, Paul went to Rome.
那然后在使徒行传第28章，保罗呢就盼望到罗马去。
There were only two cities in the ancient world of 1 million or more people.
在古时候呢，全世界超过100万人口的大都市只有两个。
One was Rome and one was Xi'an, China.
有一个就是罗马，另外一个就是中国的西安。
Paul wanted to go to Xi'an, but the Lord told him, take the Roman road, not the Silk Road. Remember that story in Acts.
保罗本来准备到西安去，后来神改变他的主意，就到了罗马，这个是他的圣经才有的。
But when Paul went to Rome, he rented a house for 2 years, Acts 28:30.
那么他到罗马的时间呢，圣经告诉我们，他是租了一个房子在那边。
But he had six associates who were out in the streets, Tychicus, Epaphras, Aristarchus, Lucas, Demas, and Marcus, all out in the streets, reaching people on the streets.
但是他有六个同工，有迪马、以巴夫了，他们六个呢，就在罗马这个大城市里头呢，一个一个的社区，一个一个的街道 去整个城市里头它都包含在它的策略之内。
I've just given you a quick overview of Acts, but Paul never used the same method in any city twice.
保罗从来没有在一个城市里头采用他在另外一个城市里头的策略。
It is not enough, you see, to build our theology on Paul. We have to build our missiology and strategy on Paul to be truly Pauline in the city and the urban world.
那所以我们 常常都讲的保罗的神学其实不足够，我们还要看保罗的宣教学，保罗的策略到底是怎么样，才可以去尝试看都是宣教是什么回事。
So there's one gospel, but many forms of church that we need to exegete each city and adjust the forms of ministry to those cities.
福音只有一个，但是呢，事工的模式可以有很多，我们要把这一个可以有很多的变化，才可以把福音带进都市。
Now let me quickly illustrate the Philemon story.
让我就用腓利门这个故事来解释都市宣教是什么一回事。
It began about the year 51.
大概是在公元51年的时
候， Paul was preaching in the theater in Rome.
保罗呢在罗马讲道，在一个剧院里头。
Philemon actually lived 100 miles away.
那腓利门大概离开这个大都市100里。
All wealthy people, he would come to the big city, he would go to the theater.
他呢就经常到大都市里头，好像那些有钱人呢都到剧院里头去看。
He heard the gospel there and he went home and planted a house church.
腓利门住在那个剧院里头，听了保罗宣教，接受了这个福音。那么回到他的家乡里头呢，就在他的家乡里头建立了一个家庭教会。
In the house church he had a slave named Onesimus.
他在他的家里头呢有一个奴仆叫做阿尼西姆。
Onesimus stole the offering one day.
阿尼西姆有一天就把奉献偷了。
He stole something. He ran away from Asia to get lost in the Europe crowd in Rome.
他偷了这些东西，就从他的居住地方就逃亡，进到这个大都市罗马。
But Tychicus is from the same community where Onesimus is from, and Tychicus was probably preaching one day in the park in Rome.
提莱基在那个时间呢，也在罗马这个地方出现，他是保罗的同工。
And he was using the Phrygian dialect of the Lycus Valley, I suspect. And Onesimus heard his own language in Rome being spoken, and he came closer and eventually became a Christian.
在那个时间，他们传福音的语言是 Lycus， 阿尼西姆呢，他听见他的家乡话，就立刻很有兴趣。那然后在那边，他听到这个福音，然后就接受了主。
So the Christian stole money in Asia, comes now to Rome to get lost, but gets found. And goes back to Asia to the house church.
这个阿尼西姆从亚细亚偷了钱，逃到欧洲最大的都市罗马。在罗马，他遇见了主，遇见了主呢，后来就再被差遣回到亚细亚。
Paul writes this little letter, 278 words, to be a cover letter for this refugee.
这一卷书很小。只不过是276个字，保罗写这封信其实是一个推荐信。
So, Chinese, you must remember, there's one letter for you in the New Testament about an Asian refugee who goes to Europe.
所以呢，我们亲爱的华人的同胞，你要记得在圣经里头有一卷书是谈到亚洲的难民怎么样逃到欧洲的故事。
He became the successor of Timothy and John, the last living apostles. It's a great story of grace.
以弗所这个教会呢，牧者其中的一个就是提摩太。提摩太之后呢，就是使徒约翰。使徒约翰之后呢，阿尼西姆就成为以弗所的牧者。
The story is happening all the time in the Chinese world.
这类的故事在华人当中常常出现。
Three years ago, I was the mission speaker in Atlanta, Georgia.
就三年之前，我到 Atlanta， 在 Georgia 这个州里头的一个宣教大会做讲员。
It was the mission banquet of the large Presbyterian church.
在长老会里头有一个很大的聚餐。
And eight students from the PRC were seated with me at the head table.
八位从中国内地出来的学者跟我一起吃饭。
They had been sent by leaders of China to Georgia Tech to become the best scientists in the world, and they had come and become good scientists, and they had all found Jesus in Atlanta, Georgia.
那他们被派出来是到 Georgia 这个最高科技的这个大学里头去学习科技。 没想到在哪里遇见耶稣，在那边信主。
Professor Edmund Hui in Vancouver reminded me a few years ago that more than 4,000 Chinese students in Vancouver are in weekly Bible studies.
许志伟医生在温哥华维珍学院里头教书，他也告诉我，大概2000到4000个华人的学者就到温哥华，在那边每个星期有他们的查经班。
You see, to understand the Philemon story, we need a big picture, a big window.
要明白腓利门的故事，我们窗口要很大。
We need to see further than Paul's life to see what actually happened as the fruit of evangelism in the city.
我们要看甚至使徒保罗死了之后才知道他城市宣教的影响到底有多长有多远。
You see, Philemon finds Christ in Ephesus. 10 years later, the slave finds Christ in Rome.
腓利门是在以弗所这个都市里头接受主耶稣，他的奴仆阿尼斯姆是在罗马认识主。
And 50 years later, the chief pastor in the city where it all began is none other than the former slave.
在50年后，这个以弗所教会的主任牧师原来就是这个接受主耶稣曾经逃亡过的奴仆阿尼斯姆。
Let me tell you how this is still happening.
让我告诉你，这个故事今天还在发生。
You know that in Fujian, China, there are many exports.
你知道在福建每一年都很多出口。
About 16 million people have come through the harbor of Fujian to Taiwan and all over the United States and Australia and the world.
超过1600万人不断的出来到台湾、东南亚、全世界。
Some of them come legally and some of them are arriving in the port of Seattle in containers.
很多是合法的途径，但是有些是非法的途径，就一个箱，货柜箱，就偷渡到西雅图。
A few months ago, a container was opened and there were many Chinese there.
几个月之前，一个货柜箱打开，非法的难民就发现。
Two had died, all the rest were put in prison.
那次呢，有两个就在货箱里头已经死了，那么其他的都被抓放在监牢里头。
Cal Yamamoto, who leads World Relief, heard about this in Seattle.
那 Yamamoto 是一个日本的神学家，那么他在西雅图他就听到这个故事。
And he got the Chinese Christians in Seattle to pray for these people and visit them in prison.
他又请西雅图的华人教会为这些难民祷告，而且呢就开始到监牢里头去探访他们。
You see, the container people are unreached people group.
大家知道这些货箱的难民是未得之民。
Delivered to Seattle.
被送到西雅图。
More than half of them have now become Christians.
现在超过一半已经接受主。
Many have been sent back as believers.
那很多被送回自己的国家已经成为基督徒。
One was put in prison with a bunch of Spanish people in Washington State. He led most of the Spanish people to Christ and he didn't know any Spanish.
有一个放在监牢里头跟一些西班牙裔的囚犯放在一起，他不懂西班牙文，但是他带了很多那些人信主。
You see, the second biggest group of illegal immigrants is Spanish. So now you have the case of the Chinese illegal immigrant leading the Spanish illegal immigrants to Christ in Washington State prisons.
所以呢，除了华人的非法移民之外，第二大的到美国的非法移民是西班牙语的这一些难民。我们发觉在华盛顿的监牢里头，这一些华人的非法移民信了主，再把这些西班牙文的非法难民带了信主。
So at the expense of United States taxpayers, these new missionaries are sent back to their old countries to evangelize in the prisons of China and Latin America.
所以呢，我们要谢谢这美国付税的那些人，是他们支持了这些监狱布道，那在布道里头让他们信主，然后呢还要把他们送回自己的国家，可能在监牢里头，可能在不同的都市里头进行他们的宣教。
I see that container port every day from my office in Seattle.
我在西雅图现在的办公室望出去的时间就看见这些货柜箱。
I can't prove it from the Bible.
我从圣经找不到根据。
But I think one of those container people might be the Billy Graham of China in the future.
我就想象可能在那些货柜里头有一个是未来华人的格培里。
Or at least the Onesimus of China, you see?
可能是未来的华人的阿尼西姆。
It's an urban world.
是一个都市化的世界。
I would ask that God give you a great love for your city, but it won't happen automatically. You must study your city carefully.
所以我真的盼望你爱上你居住的城市，但是不会自然出现的。你要好好的研究你的城市。
And then I urge you to study scripture of city. You cannot be a city minister without a working knowledge of cities and scripture.
第二，我就盼望你好好的研究圣经。圣经怎么样看城市？你不可以进行城市宣教而没有一个好好的圣经关于城市的神学跟基础。
As you look at scripture, you see many other examples.
那在圣经里头，你还看见有其他的一些个案。
Jonah is about God's love for a pagan and violent city.
约拿书是讲到神对外邦城市的爱。
The hero is not the fish.
约拿书的英雄不是那条鱼。
The hero is not Jonah.
英雄也不是约拿。
Jonah bought a one-way ticket the opposite direction, remember? And God gave him the round trip.
大家知道约拿只是买了单程票，相反的方向去逃跑，那但是神给他一条来回票，把他送回去。
And Jonah preached half of the gospel.
那么其实呢，约拿传福音只传了一半。
Repent, in 40 days you're going to hell.
你们要悔改，40天之间你们就要下地狱。
In his heart he was saying, burn, baby, burn.
其实他说燃烧吧燃烧吧。
He didn't love those people.
他不爱那个城市。
They were his enemies.
那个城市的人都是他的仇敌。
He preached half the gospel.
他只宣讲了那个福音信息的一半。
But God bless, the greatest revival before Pentecost.
其实是五旬节之前最大的复兴就在约拿书。
And Jonah couldn't stand it. He was out on the hill.
约拿不能够忍受，就跑到山上去。
Chapter 4,
第四章。
The greatest revival in the whole Bible was going on down in the city, and Jonah was up on the mountain, angry with God.
城市里头最大的福星在山上，约拿就在哪里大大的作怒。
He had made a little fireworks booth where he could sit and watch the city blow up.
他在山上其实就是远远的看这个城市怎么燃烧。
He was having devotions from Genesis 18.
他灵修的时间就看见创世纪十八章。
I can just hear his prayer.
我可以听到他的祷告。
Lord, it says you blew up Sodom. I believe you can do it again.
他说我看见你怎么样把索多玛毁灭，我知道你一定可以再来一次。
The God who made the big fish made a little worm.
神创造大鱼，也创造一条小虫。
And the little worm destroyed Jonah's shade tree.
而且那条小虫就把他硬币的那棵树就咬了。
He was very upset there.
所以他非常的不高兴。
He felt betrayed by God.
他感觉是神出卖了他。
He couldn't handle it.
他没有办法可以处理。
How could you do this, Lord? How could you do this?
说神，你怎么样可以这样对我？
He was waiting to go back to Jerusalem to be a big hero.
他本来以为回到耶路撒冷的时间成为他国家的英雄。
They were going to write songs about him.
以色列人一定要好好的做一首歌来歌颂这位的先知。
Something like how Jonah had killed more Ninevites with his preaching than David had with his armies.
一定是这样，约拿杀尼尼微城的人比较用他的讲道所杀的人比较大卫用他的军队去杀的敌人更多。
He was looking forward to becoming a major prophet, not a minor prophet.
他本来要做大先知，没有想到要做小先知。
But now he has to go back to Jerusalem and tell them that the hated enemies, the Assyrians, are going to be in heaven forever with them.
他现在回到耶路撒冷就惨了，因为耶路撒冷人要恨他，说现在这些尼尼微人的敌人现在都要到天堂，永远永远的跟神同在。
You mean the Jews will be a minority in heaven?
这样来说，不是犹太人在天国里头，在天堂里头要变为少数民族了吗？
You mean the Jews are going to be outvoted by the Assyrians in the assembly of the Lord in heaven?
所以在天国的会议里头投票，他们一定要输给叙利亚。
I thought we were the chosen people, huh? Middle Kingdom.
他们感觉他们是被拣选的，好像我们中国。
God's favorite.
是神所看重的。
You see, they weren't prepared for grace.
他们没有想到恩典到底是什么回事。
Modern day parable.
现代的比喻。
God said to a pastor in Toronto someday.
啊，有一天神对多伦多的一个牧者这样讲。
Reverend Chow, I want you to go to Beijing, preach the gospel.
周牧师，我要你到北京去传福音。
And I'll reward your ministry.
我要好好的给你彰显。
I'll make Beijing greater than ever, greater even than under Mao.
那么我一定要把北京变成一个最大的一个都市。
So Reverend Chow took a Canadian Airlines plane to New Orleans and a slow boat to Australia.
然后呢，这位周牧师他就坐飞机到 New Orleans， 然后呢，坐一个很慢的船到澳洲澳大利亚去。
Because what would happen if all those communists became believers and we were outvoted in heaven？
他说有一天，假如北京这些共产党都信主，那么在天堂里头，我们投票一定输了，怎么办？
What if Premier Zhang repented and got a front row seat in the second coming? I don't think some people could handle that. Do you?
要是江主席信主，他将来还坐在前排，我们怎么样算？我看我们可能很多华人基督徒不知道怎么样处理。
It's like Americans were growing up hating the Russians because they were communists, you know.
所以好像我们美国人长大的时间一直都是有一个教导，就是要恨那些俄罗斯私人，因为他们都是共产党。
Then Billy Graham went to Russia.
然后呢，格培里布什到苏联去跟他们讲道。
Very much criticized for that.
格培里到那边去也接受了很多的批评。
I had dinner with him two nights after he got back because we were both speakers at Urbana for the missions conference.
因为我们呢就同时被邀请到 Urbana 做讲员，那么那 Billy Graham。格培里从俄罗斯回来的时间，有一个晚上我跟他一起吃饭。
I admired Billy so much.
我非常的敬佩格培里。
So many in America hated the communists, and Billy went to them and just preached the gospel.
很多的美国人痛恨俄罗斯私人，但是他就是带着神的爱到那边去宣讲福音。
And he met with the government leaders and the Politburo.
然后呢，他跟俄罗斯的人民代表跟他们的政府都结为朋友。
The CIA was very suspicious, Billy told me.
那所以呢，美国中央情报局呢对格培里非常怀疑。
They wanted to know why he met with the Politburo for 1 hour and 20 minutes. Nobody ever met with the Politburo.
他就没有想到他怎么样可以跟他们的情报局的人，那中央的情报的人可以这么长的时间一起会议，从来没有美国人可以跟他们会面。
Billy Graham told President Reagan and then told me the next night was that there's a revival in Russia so big and so wide the communists didn't know what to do about it.
后来格培里他告诉了列根总统，后来再告诉我，原来在苏联在那个时间有一个很大的复兴，大到一个程度是当时的苏联政府不知道怎么样处理这个基督教的复兴，那么所以呢就把他邀请过去要跟他谈这个问题。
Unfortunately, as happened after the war in Germany, the Second World War, once the Christians who were underground came above the ground, groups began attacking each other as to which was the faithful church. And evangelism suffered in Russia.
好像在第二次世界大战德国的情况，世界大战之后地下的教会冒出头来，但是跟当时的所谓官方正统的教会就引起了一个冲突。那么这个冲突呢，引起了后来在德国传福音一个很大的阻碍。那么这一类的历史不断的发生。
The same thing could happen in China someday.
在中国本土也可能有这个情况出现。
It would be a great tragedy.
要是这种情况出现就很可惜。
13% of God's earth is white like me.
在全世界来讲有 13% 的人口是白种。
49% is yellow and the rest is black and brown.
49% 是黄种，而其他的就是黑人或是棕色皮肤的人。
I love what Billy said to a group of us young pastors. Never speak negatively about another ministry in public. Even if you're right, The devil will use it to divide the body of Christ.
格培里有一句话我常常记得，他也是跟一些国内出来的一些牧者说，他说在任何场合里头，千万不要去攻击批评另外一些事工或者是教会，即使是有立场你可以这样讲，但是最终是神的身体被分裂。
You are the leaders of the Chinese church in the world, and I urge you to be statesmen and to be positive about what God is doing in and outside China.
你们都是华人教会里头的领袖，我就盼望你们有这种国家大使的心胸，无论在什么地方我们都彼此包容，为了神的国度的缘故，真的是合为一。
I have been organizing the Pacific Rim Urban Think Tank every year for 12 years and we just met in Xiamen, China.
过去12年我每一年呢都有一个亚太区的一个智囊 团，就是看怎么样进行城市的宣教。过去几个月曾经有一次是在中国的厦门举行这个智囊的交流。
40 scholars met with us in Xiamen.
40个来自不同地方的学者在那边交流。
And we've been studying with the help of many scholars Asian cities for many years.
那过去这么多年我们呢，很多的学者帮我们去研究亚洲的城市。
I really believe the church in China is out of control.
我相信有一件事发生，就是国内中国大陆的教会已经增长到一个地步，国家也不知道怎么样去控制。
I happen to be in the family called Baptist along with Billy Graham, Martin Luther King and Jimmy Carter and a few other lesser known saints.
那么我呢，这家庭的背景呢就是浸信会的。那么大家都知道格培里啦、Jimmy Carter 美国的总统呢，有一些出名的基督徒都是浸信会背景。
Long ago I learned that the kingdom is bigger than my denomination.
我发现原来神的国度比浸信会更大。
I really believe the Spirit of God has jumped over the boundaries of Three Self and House Church and is moving out of control in China. I've seen it on many trips in China. I see it in the ends of the earth.
我就感觉神的国度已经超越了某些界限，所谓三自教会了、家庭教会这些界限，不能够把神的国度分隔。那么神的国度已经不断的增长，已经超越了这些的人为的界限。
In 1900, over 80% of the world's Christians were white and northern and western and lived in North America or Europe.
在1900年 ,80% 的全世界的基督徒都是白种，大部分集中在北美。
Today, more than 80% of the world's Christians live outside the West. They are not white, they are not northern, they are not western. They are in Latin America, Africa, and Asia.
今天，全世界已经超过 80% 的基督徒的人口，不是住在北半球，不是白种人，不是住在美洲，他们大部分是什么呢？是亚洲人，是非洲人，是三分二世界的人。
But 80% of the resources...informational, institutional, and financial are still in the West.
但是大部分的资源还在哪里？还在北美，仍然在这少数的基督教的教会里头。
I have baptized my two younger brothers.
那么我呢，有机会跟我的两个弟弟施洗。
I come from immigrant Norwegian roots.
那么我呢，其实呢，是从北欧，我的家属有人从那边过来的。
My father was a peasant, and my mother too.
我父亲、母亲都是农民。
My mother never went to secondary school.
我母亲从来没有上过中学。
But before each of his children were born, my father went into the woods and fasted and prayed and gave us to God, but then never told us.
原来呢，我父亲在我们还小的时间呢，他到森林里头做过这样的祷告，就把我们奉献给主，他从来没有告诉我们，后来我们才发现。
My youngest brother is a pastor, like me, a poor Baptist preacher.
我最小的一个弟弟也是做牧师，也是在浸信会里头做一个当个小牧师，跟我一样。
But I read about my other brother in Forbes magazine on the airplane coming to this meeting.
我另外一个弟兄就一个兄弟呢，我在坐飞机过来的时间，就在 Forbes 这本的经济杂志里头看见我的弟弟的报道。
He's the 312th richest man in the world.
他是全球排名312名有钱的人。
He has 8 electrical power plants in China.
他在中国有12个发电厂。
And he's struggling to do justice and economic development in China and Pakistan and India and many other countries where he has power plant.
那他呢就在世界很多发展中的国家，包括中国、巴基斯坦啊、印度这些国家呢，就啊，但是他面对的一个的很大的挑战，就是怎么样在发展当中维持公益。
His testimony has been in Wall Street front page or his golf with the president. It's interesting, his testimony.
那所以呢，在华尔街的杂志，他经常出现，他也跟总统去打高尔夫球，是一个很有名的商人。但是他的信就盼望可以为神的国度可以做一些事，帮助这些发展中的国家。
Many years ago, he committed to live on 1% of his income. Give 99% away.
很多年前他就做了一个决定，就是他的生活呢只用他的收入 1%， 其他 99% 他奉献出去。
Don't worry about him, he can do pretty well on 1% of it.
所以你不用为他担心，他的1% 已经非常充裕。
But it does mean that we're able to give millions each year for ministry through the Mustard Seed Foundation, and much of that is in China.
所以呢，其实
we're committed.
他已经设立一个叫做芥菜种这样的一个基金，每年数以百万美元的奉献，可以帮助很多国家，特别是发展中国家的一些发展和宣教。
We really believe we're on the edge of Asian Pentecost.
因为我自己相信我们在一个很重要的时代的边缘，在亚洲将会出现一个好像五旬节那样的一个大复兴。
And it never occurred to us that my aunt who studied Chinese but never got to go would have a nephew who would own power companies all over China.
所以我相信我的那个爸爸的那个 姐妹念中文预备到中国去宣教，没想到有一天他的家人里头他的侄儿有这样的机会在中国做这么大的工程，也可以为宣教开一条路。
So I challenge you as Chinese, also don't be so exclusive that you don't include some of us former Norwegians. We want to be your partners in reaching urban China.
所以我盼望你们华人对我们北欧的人也要有些怜悯，就把你们的门打开，也不要忘记我们这些人也有需要。
And so I've tried to say several things today. First of all, the cities are here, it's the frontier. Study the cities and love the cities.
所以我讲一句话，就是我们说今天城市已经来临到21世纪，就在我们的眼前，所以要研究城市，研究圣经，要爱你居住的城市。
Second, the resources in scripture are unbelievably appropriate for city ministry.
而且呢，不要忘记圣经里头有关城市的记载，对我们做城市宣教是非常适切的。
I've written a theology as big as a city as a book. He's got a copy of it. Actually, it'd be translated in Chinese next month in Alliance Press. They were hoping to have it here. They didn't make it.
这本书呢，是我带来的，是 Dr. Ray Bakke 写的，是 A Theology as Big as a City， 就是有关城市里头的神学，我介绍一点点，是把圣经66卷，每一卷都做一个圣经的神学的研究，圣经的教会历史的研究，然后呢就看城市宣教。
Forget it,
you say all that. 然后呢就有一个城市宣教的策略，已经翻译成为中文，本来要赶在这个大会里都可以赶上，没有赶上，八月才出版。
Yeah.
但是呢我这一本很贵，因为有他的签名的。
In English, no doubt. Yes. The third thing I wanted to say is it's time to rise above a partisan spirit. It's time to pray for Christians on all sides of the three self and house church. And don't create partisanship in the kingdom. Let's work together to see the evangelization of all of China.
所以分割的年代已经过去，所以我们不要在什么三字啊、家庭教会啊这些人为的一些界限啊，神的国度是超越的。那么我们在教会之间、教会机构之间，也应该除去这个分隔的观念，为神的国度的缘故，让我们合为一，同心的把这个福音 传到全世界。
I know the difference between Bishop Ding and Mother Teresa.
我知道丁光训主教跟 Mother Teresa 当然有不同的地方。
But I also know that God could use Cyrus.
我们知道圣经里头也有很多不同的人 Cyrus 也 被神所用
and God can move and support governments come and go so let's not be hung up about governments let's get on with the gospel
波斯王古列他也没有信主但是神也在他心里头动工所以神的作为是超过我们的我们要把我们的心打开观看神的作为
So be the leader that God intends you to be
所以神装备你们成为华人教会的领袖我们要有领袖的
So I say, to God be the glory,
我们说荣耀归于神
and to the earth be peace,
在地上有和平
and to the Chinese leaders be courage,
让我们华人的教会的领袖有这种的勇气
and to the world be hope,
让全世界都有盼望神祝福你